Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, November the 22nd, 2015, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Granton Taylor Hughes from my show, The Granton Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How about yourself, Grant?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's
and
great.
And this is it's the date of, I guess you'd commemorate or remember that the Kennedy assassination on November 22nd, 1963. So it's been, what, 52 years, I guess. And anyway, you know, we talk about how his miscue of Executive Order 1111-0, giving the president the authority to create silver certificates and July of 1963, and that's my opinion, got him in Dutch, because they were trying to get rid of the specie currency, and he was bringing it back, and that was problematic. It took him 900 years to fix the system, and he was going to start World War III. So having said all that, bye-bye, wave-bye in Dealey Plaza 52 years ago. Anyway, having said all that, because I've discussed that in the past, correct? That's as glib as I can get about it. Are you there?
Yes, I'm just listening.
You are? Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you are. Anyway, so each week we try to cover
Well, excuse me for interrupting.
Go ahead.
I know that you think is that the primary reason you think he was assassinated? Because, I mean, you've talked privately to me about there are other reasons that might have contributed to that.
So what were the other reasons I said privately? We'll just make them public. I don't remember.
Okay. We don't have to then.
What? I guess that's our joke for the first half minute. We're supposed to tell a joke to get people's interest. Okay, so privately, what was I talking about then? What was I saying?
Well, I mean, what did you think about the factor of his brother, Robert F. Kennedy, the Attorney General, trying to bring down the mafia. Yeah.
Well,
you
see,
think that
these things are bigger. These things are bigger than all that mess. You see, and just like they're trying to make it the lone nutball shooting him, you know, the lone gunman thing, and then they, you know, all the science for the magic bullet and everything. And God, it's just. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, if you read the information on it, it's so confusing after a while. But then we all saw the Zapruder film on, you know, we saw the whole thing, and it's just ridiculous. The whole thing is crazy when you get right down to it. But look at all the facts, you know, behind the scenes, and you're kind of talking about economic demolition and money, and then he was going against a lot of people, the Cuban crisis, just he was trying to stop the military complex. There's a thing online about that speech he gave that Eisenhower was discussing about the military industrial complex and what have you. And so when you're trying to stop that and you're talking big money, you're talking about $1 trillion infrastructure, and one man's going to try to bring it down, I don't think it's going to last long there. So call it a lone gunman that was a nutball that is up in a book depository in the middle of the spring when you can't even see the motorcade. I mean, it's just, it goes on and on, Gabriella. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then they had experts trying to do the same three shot within 3 seconds, and impossible to do. And this guy was an average marksman. So it just, that's what I'm saying. It just goes on and on about, we know it happened, I guess. I mean, was that a rubber dummy in the car or something? It was a big illusion. I don't know. And then he's with Elvis with the rest of the celebrities on some fancy Florida off the shore island or something. You know, and they're all still alive and having a big party. But they're all close to 100 years old now, too. And if they're not raw vegan, they don't look so good. Boy, that's as glib as you can get, I suppose, right?
I guess, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can believe what you want, but it was right there Yeah, we all saw it on television. If you're old enough to, and most young kids don't even remember and don't care. And I was saying this morning in the UK call, I said, why do you commemorate things that are so negative, like the 9/11 and just wars, and it's just tragedy. It's like a negative focus. Well, I don't want to celebrate things that are wonderful. And they were talking to me about the French terrorist stuff and the bombings, and I said, didn't anybody look at the garden parties in France this morning? All the garden parties they were having in different parts of the country.
Or as I've often said, I don't think people are celebrating. There's a lot of people killed, and I don't think that's. A lot of people would take that joke very, very much. I mean,
before you get into that orthodox view of it, you know, this is the way it is, trilateral commission and newspapers and stuff.
Whoever
was behind it,
it doesn't matter. There were a lot of people.
I don't
that
know.
Were killed.
I don't. Again, my opinion of terrorism is all economic demolition. It's just a game being played by big money and things of that nature, and they pay people off. And then I wasn't there. I told people on the call, I said, were you there? Did you see eyewitness accounts? What type of reporting is this when the Trilateral Commission, 90% of the time, they're giving you propaganda that isn't true? And I know that if you're not there physically to see it, then it's going to be totally misconstrued and a mess. And that's my opinion. And I know it's my opinion, but and people would say, oh, okay, you don't believe in this. It's not so much I don't believe it, I didn't see it. And if I have to take somebody else's opinion, especially a newspaper report, come on. I know newspapers. I've known reporters and things. And even you in the past, remember I pointed the fingers when you were doing some journalism in California years ago, and you showed me some copy. Mm-hmm. You said you had to print it because you had to go to press with the whole thing. And I said, well, it's wrong. You said, and the key line, the classic line was, I have a deadline. There you go. That's classic right there. And that's the whole issue. Whether it's right or wrong, you got a deadline. You got to put it. You got to print it. How many times? You think about it. You know, it's not accuracy. It's about selling newspapers, sensationalism. So I don't know what happened there. So I didn't see it. I don't know. It's going to take a whole lot of different angles and different viewpoints and newspaper accounts. Time out. I'm not interested. I'm really not. And I think that's a healthy way to look at it. I'm not going to feel sorry for something that probably didn't happen. See what I mean? I know that might sound cold and callous, but it's just the truth in the matter. I'm going to take an intellectual approach. I'm going to take an intelligent approach to it and not just take stuff that's piecemeal and ran down my throat because I'm supposed to accept it. I'm just not like it. I'm not built that way, as they say. Are you there still?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
That's good. Well, that's what I'm trying to say. I know that the media is controlled. And if we don't understand that, then we're pretty naive as people. And that's why people are not involved with politics and don't care about it, because the general elections, what they have, 11% of the population voted, if that, a very small minority. But why do we see all the government? Because they pump a lot of money into advertising, TV and things. But I don't watch advertisements and commercial TV. I watch Netflix, movies and stuff. You see what I mean? Because all that stuff is just terrible. And then you know that all the network played right in the hands of the medical community. Gosh, they put so much money into pharmaceutical ads. And when you see a movie, they have 10 minutes of commercials and 5 minutes of movie. So what they're really advertising venues, and they're not really entertainment venues in terms of network TV. It's just awful. It's unbelievably ridiculous, and it's just total propaganda, more tradition put on tradition and pumping into the overwhelming the media and the people to pay more taxes, to work for the grind in the mill, and they just keep it up, instill fear in people so that they'll work and do their business and not understand the law like we try to talk about in terms of UCC and the silver bullet of the notice of dishonor. Just put that on a paper and stop getting the onslaught of oppression. And that's how you take the oppressive documentation and you just dishonor it, okay? They take all your assets, all your money, and throw you in jail, dishonor it. It won't happen. You just got to keep at it. See, and they'll stop it because the law is Uniform Commercial Code internationally. That is the law. and people have to know it. I've had experiences with it. I understand that direct experiences that have taken place. If anybody reads Howard Freeman's work on that, where he was talking to a judge in chambers and the judge was revealing the facts in terms of the Uniform Commercial Code, I've had lawyers in private talk to me about the UCC. I was at a bank one time when I remarked to at a table, there were about 20 people sitting there at my corner in the bend in the table, the L-shaped angle. And I said aloud to a lawyer friend of mine, I said, oh, do you know that they've got a fix for the bankruptcy? They won't need to be using UCC in the courtroom any longer. I said it loud enough so all these people could hear that had heard me talk about the UCC. And the lawyer's answer was, oh, that's great. I'm really glad to hear that. And when they heard that, they realized that I was correct because they validated this in public. See, that's evidence. You see, that's good stuff. I mean, I know the people online that are listening tonight didn't hear that, but I'm telling you, in your heart of hearts, you have to know that when you know the law, they will stand down because that's the infrastructure internationally. That's the power internationally. It's nice, really, because when you're using intelligence, and then in the revelation that people are viewing their knowingness and intelligence, that's a very nice thing to know, that it works, that it still works, but you have to be aware of it. You have to utilize it because they're not going to do it for you. That's the only rub there, because everybody's not helping out everybody. Or like when you click the help thing on the computer, I always say heaven help you if you do that, because the rhetoric and the content and the syntax, I mean, it's a mess, you see. So at least the humans can get it right if we know the law. But if you don't know UCC, if you don't believe in it, then you're never going to be able to prevail by using that variable. It's important. It's a real important issue. You've heard me talk about it many, many times. So I'm blue in the face, and I'll keep talking about it. Because we have to know those three little letters, the most important letters, the 26 letters in the alphabet, are UCC, everybody. So repeat that. As a mantra, repeat it in your sleep. You know, look in the mirror and say it to yourself. Three letters, UCC. What does it mean? It means the Uniform Commercial Code, not the United Commercial Code, not the underwear of the commercial code, the Uniform Commercial Code. On a roll, huh? What do you think?
I think you're on a roll.
Thank you very much. Hopefully not a cinnamon roll, because I don't eat them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ew, gross. What?
I said that's a good question.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I'm done. So I can get off today and go home early. I'm joking.
Yeah,
as usual.
That's fine. You want to say goodnight, then you're going to leave 17 minutes early this show.
I rolled right into being finished. Not really. I just, was doing my whiny routine, my whiny nasal voice routine, non-resonant stuff. But anyway, see, these things are important, but the awareness of what I'm talking about, I do it every week. I do it because I'm stimulated to the truth. I think it's important that people can understand this. In reference to the fact that we are a result of the 1930 bankruptcy, we still are using money from that area. Okay, that whole thing has been based upon the fact that we use Federal Reserve notes and their debt currency. It's not credit. I wish people could get that and understand we're not using credit. I mean, they talk about a credit card or what your credit score is, and I wish they'd just shut up, It's a debt score. It's a debt card. There's no credit. Why can't people get that right? Let me ask you that, Gabrielle. Why is that used in the infrastructure or just in public rendition of it when they talk about credit? Why do they keep mouthing that when there isn't any? What's your opinion on that?
Well, it's all advertising, and the companies that have the cards, that issue the cards, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, and so forth. They like the idea of promoting it as a credit card to people, you know, that people think they have all this credit that they can use. They're giving you, you know, in the old days when you used to have accounts at stores, at department stores, whatever, you would go in and you'd say, put it on my account. They were issuing you credit, is how it was expressed, and that's how it was looked at. So these credit cards are looked at in the same manner. These companies are issuing you credit, and, you know, because you're not giving them money right away, you pay for it later and through the nose.
But you understand what I mean by that when it doesn't exist. You see?
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying the reason that's why they use the terminology, because it goes over well with people that they're being given credit. They don't have to put any money out of pocket immediately. They're being given credit to buy things when they don't have to outlay the cash right away. So it's
okay.
I'm not sure that the term has to do with credit or debit. Our society and our economy, so much as it's a term, it's a promotional term, so that people can use them and, you know, avail themselves of it.
Right, but debit and debt are different. A debit means you have can reduce or deduct. Where debt means it's a right. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we have. It's debt. Everything has been debt.
I'm sorry, I meant to say debt.
Yeah.
I apologize. You're right on that. I didn't mean to say debt.
Mm-hmm. Right. But what I'm trying to say with that, if people would understand basic economics in terms of credit and debt, they would know that even though, because I've discussed many times that they have a bankruptcy in cycles of 70 years, okay? But I'm pointing to the 1931 because we still have the evidence of the money. See, the money is the Federal Reserve note from that time and we still have that best evidence. I'm not talking about the cyclical or cyclical bankruptcies. And that's because we're mostly in a debt system. Because there's a failure in the mathematics. I've talked about that many times. We can't measure mathematically in a collective view. We only can do it individually. In other words, an individual can add 1 + 1, but if you go out to 10 people, they're not going to get the same results, even with that simple equation. It's just a matter of the details, getting the wrong variables when you're talking about mathematics and measurement. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. We know that. Preeminent physicists will, all of them get to a conclusion of theories and uncertainty. See, and that's known by hierarchy and a lot of people, but the masses don't understand that because they don't avail themselves of it, mainly. If people wouldn't skip over words and they think it's too lofty and they don't want to raise distressed clothing because they want to, my opinion recently is, we want to dress like homeless people now, holes in our clothes and scuffed shoes and stuff like that, that whole distressed fashion thing. Okay, so the homeless have won out. Everybody looks like a homeless person these days. How do you like that? Well, I was making jokes when I see people with torn jeans. I'd say, are you okay? And that lady would say, well, what do you mean? I said, did you skin your knee there? Do you need some ointment or something? Well, that would sound like a come on, right? We would need some ointment for your knee, right? Oh, God. Yeah, but isn't that true? I mean, everybody dresses like a homeless person now with torn clothes and stuff. I was asking in one of these department stores, I said, do you have any jeans with mud on them? Can I have some mud on some? I thought I saw some people with mud on their jeans. Did they buy them that way, or were they working in a ditch over there with a pick and shovel?
I can't answer to that because I don't think I saw them.
Gosh. You know, remember a few years ago I said I wanted to make a comedic show, right? I guess I've done it anyway with this one, huh?
Yeah.
Not necessarily straight comedy, but pretty close. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. We have to take a poll on how many people who are listening are laughing. So I couldn't answer since we can't hear whether there's an audience laughing or not. It's hard to say whether the jokes are going over or they're just dropping dead.
That's funny in itself. I like that. But you have such a wry sense of humor anyway. Your time is impeccable, so I admire that a great deal. the topics that we bring up, albeit it should be a serious matter. I say it should be because to me it's a joke. I mean, you can't understand the simplest ideas. You can't look in your pocket and see that the money is what's written on it. It's fallacious. It's erroneous. It's just ridiculous. And then people don't question it when it's a Federal Reserve note. But if you have to pick on banking, banking won't redefine note as a certificate. I mean, a note could be a certificate. It's a piece of paper, right? If I have a certificate, why couldn't I call it a note, you know, a paper or something? But you see, it's all defining certain words, right? And then you declare it the point of the definition to apply the definition of some relevance, okay, in reference to defining it. So note is considered a debt to the banking community. But I always try to tell them, I say, look, can't you just take the idea of note and redefine it as credit? And they can't do it. So it's their fault. I mean, because we could have a credit or a solvent community, a solvent international community, by the declaration of the banks, but they won't back off on the definition of a word. I mean, think of how ridiculous that is, Gabrielle. Think about how ridiculous that is. You see? Don't you agree? Redefining a word would be the difference of solvency and a bankruptcy, one word difference. So just like when I'm talking about certificate and debt, even if you didn't redefine the debt instrument as a note, as credit, then you mm-hmm. still have an issue. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Oh, you are? I thought you interrupted.
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. Never know.
Difference between saying note or certificate.
Right. It is a difference because, you know, you have a notepad, right? You got a piece of paper. You wrote just a friendly note to somebody. It's a note, see? But when they call it a Federal Reserve note, in the banking industry, they declare note as a debt instrument. Like a note would be considered debt, okay? And that's the language that they use. That's why they call it the Federal Reserve note, because it's a debt instrument. Is there a solvent credit instrument somewhere? Yes, but it's vaulted in banks. They put it in the vault. The bankruptcy is on the outside of the vault. The solvency is on the inside of the vault. See, so we have a solvency, but it's not public. And that's a tragedy, but the reason is because it doesn't work in measurement. The banks won't do an approximate mathematics. They have to get it right down to the penny. See, if they allowed for not concerned about the pennies being off, and look at all the jokes about that, and then movies made where all they were trying to confiscate the pennies and made up millions of dollars in all the pennies and whatnot, but because they have to get it down to the exact penny or pence, they say in the UK, then there's issues with that. See, and then why they make so much money on overdrafts. Think about that. They raise the prices of overdrafts because they know they can never get banking equilibrium because it's always wrong. And so therefore, when you measure things collectively, it's impossible. So until we get an approximate mathematics that the banking industry would allow, you're going to have a constant state of bankruptcy because when the debt gets big enough, becomes overwhelming even to the administrators of the banks, and they have to do something about it, you see? So it's a constant state of monetary policy, and I'm saying in terms of monetary cultures, it's always an issue. It's constantly an issue that's never addressed, but now it's a sore in the courtrooms and everything else because they don't want to reveal it because of revolutionary problems that we've had in the past couple centuries. There's been hot off a lot of revolutions, and mainly because they're trying to condemn the hierarchy for the lack of knowledge and information. That's why I'm trying to vent some of that. You know, I try to give some relief in terms of the facts and the matter, or the truth and the matter that it's behind the scenes. They can't reveal it because they just can't do it in the courtroom. They're afraid because of these issues of storming the Bastille, you know, revolutions in history. Those types of things. That's why they don't reveal it. Some of the finer degrees of that or details are because they have the handgun issue. And because of that, they're afraid of the riots and all that stuff. So there's a big fear factor in terms of this legal issue. See, and therefore they're not going to tell you in the courtroom that the Uniform Commercial Code is the international law. They just are not going to do it. It will never happen. You may get ruled in your favor when you dishonor their situation, or you use UCC 1-308, a party with explicit reservation privileges, performs, promises, and or assents under performance demanded or offered by the other party, does not prejudice the privilege reserved. And that's verbatim of 1-308, okay? And it's real simple. All it means is you're aware of the law. You're aware of the situation in the courtroom. They can't reveal it. They're an unrevealed situation. So there's remedy of Section 10, which is in Section 1-308. That's the remedy for it. Section 10 targets remedy within the first 9 sections. So that remedy will tell them, puts them on notice that you're aware of the situation. And the unrevealed situation is not acceptable, and it's a violation of common law because they're supposed to give full disclosure. See, and when you don't fully disclose and you call them on it and they can't do it, then they have to dismiss the case, and that's what they do. That's why they dismiss all UCC cases, because they don't become a court record, because you can go and reference and see that it's not of court record, and then they'll allude to the UCC, and then they'll reveal the whole thing. So, well, that's a good idea. No, it's not a good idea. You see, it's because it just doesn't work. Because they don't want to reveal the bankruptcy. Because I have the fix, but nobody else has the fix. The fix is not public, except for on my show, which is very parochial, and there's very few people who listen to the show. I mean, maybe 1,000 sometimes, but that's a drop in the bucket. See, we're talking about billions of people internationally and that don't have the information. So the people that get this information each week are fortunate, because if you're aware of the law, you'll feel better about it, because you'll have knowledge and awareness of the truth in the matter. See, where most people don't have it, I mean, I talk to them blue in the face in my UK group, and they don't get it. I have to repeat things over and over again because it's a matter of experience. See, that's what I'm always talking about. We have to have experiences. If we don't have experiences, we're never going to believe anything. You can't believe what's said without experience. It's called empiricism. And that's why science wins out in terms of the abstract versus the abstract, because now you can see something tangible. You can, the proof thing in America, oh, prove it to me. Well, the proof's right there. Stick your hand in your pocket and pull out the dollar. Read what's on it. I mean, I show people right in front of my face. Sometimes I show them the picture. There's a picture of Washington. See Washington right there? And they're kind of looking around it or something. You know, it's like they acknowledge. People just don't want to acknowledge things, you see. They're so individual. They're so sensate. It's such an animalistic state that they can't even observe something, agree with you for 2 seconds, you know. I take people through it, and they wonder why. And so just read that line, you know, read the line there. Okay, we're getting down the last couple of minutes. Say a few things if you want.
A few things? I think I just said that,
things.
A few things. I just said
okay,
a few things.
Okay, you did. Good job. Yeah, good job.
Well, I mean, you know, we covered some different aspects tonight than what we normally cover. I think so, which I think is good, because I think sometimes people get tired of hearing the same things all the time. Even though, as you said, it doesn't really sink into people until they have the experience of using it, and I think that's pretty much true with anything.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And I understand it. I do understand it. That's why I have tried to help people have the experience. And in the UK, it's very difficult because they are constantly stating that the UCC doesn't exist in the courtroom. It's not used for that, but it is. That's what I'm saying. And I know myself and many other people that have had experiences of it in American courts, and there's your situation. They don't really come out and give an explanation in the courtroom, but you can get outside of it in many different experiences that way. So that's important. And that's important to have that and to go through that. So that's why I really think it's important. So thank you, Gabriella, for being on the show this week. I appreciate your presence and your commentary.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And I know I didn't contribute that much, but I'm a great sounding board.
I appreciate it. Your compassion is noted. All right, so let me thank everybody else, journeymen that come each week. I really respect you for that. This is Grantham Taylor Hughes, and for the new people, too. Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show. Have a great week. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Go ahead. I'm gonna let it happen.
Okay. That was effervescent today. Wasn't I effervescent?
Yeah. My stomach's been queasy and I got diarrhea.
Oh, you do? From what?
On the toilet on the show.
Probably from last night.
No, I think it was. I was gonna put the salt cell that was left over on the cell that did the spoonful that was bad. I threw it in the house.
What salt? Oh, it was bad?
Yeah.
How'd it go bad? Well, the tomatoes were getting old anyway. But how could you... Well, whatever. I don't know. I see.